All these experiences were recorded in my journals only when they fulfilled these criteria and would be documented only when I was absolutely certain of being fully awake during the experiences. Any lack of self-awareness or wakefulness was simply discarded as a dream, although I believe many dream experiences may actually be other dimensional excursions without their dreamer being aware of them. Lucid dreams may rise gradually out of a dream, as I will tell later. I discovered in the majority of cases that when lucidity arose out of a dream, the dream contents, surroundings and events changed dramatically at the moment I woke up in my dream. People disappeared, scenery changed and the environment became clearer and more real. But at other times nothing changed at all and I concluded that I was already on another level, dreamless, with only the state of consciousness altering. Very early on I trained myself to spend a moment or two to focus my attention, until I was 100% sure that I had full waking awareness. This was achieved by focusing either on my hands, a method suggested by Castaneda, or on an object in front of me. William Bulman IV suggests simply to command yourself clarity now to achieve the same thing. Sometimes I would scoop up some earth and let it run through my fingers, or I would study the detail of the bark on a tree. Any object close by would serve until I was satisfied that I was fully awake. 1 month after my dramatic initiation into the next dimension, I experienced an awakening from a dream into another world, and I could not have wished for a more natural introduction to my new expanded reality. Next headline, Orientation, January 1976. Following half an hour of meditation, I went back to bed, straight to sleep and into a dream. I don't recall the details of my dream, but it was vivid. So vivid, in fact, that I was startled to realize I was dreaming. A powerful force swept me away and almost simultaneously dropped me in the middle of a street that I did not recognize. The first thing I saw was a 10-year-old girl in a green dress running across the street. Beyond her I saw an old woman looking into a shop window. There was traffic. I could make out a town square inches the distance but could not identify the location. A moment later I woke up in my bed. 25. This short but powerful event gave me a taste of things to come. I was very excited. I thought that if I kept my drowsy state of mind in place and stopped myself moving around too much that I could go straight back. I was right. It has been said that one of the most powerful tools to enable projection is a strong desire to be at a certain place or to be with someone, for instance, the overwhelming desire of lovers to be together. Very early on I discovered this desire to be a powerful and integral part of successful out-of-body journeys. Somehow our energy composition, when after drifting back into a cozy dream world I found I was traveling in a tube train. It felt like I was in Hamburg, but I wasn't sure. When the door of the train opened and I stepped out, I became aware immediately that I was dreaming. The scenery hadn't changed at all, just my awareness. I assumed that I was already functioning on another dimension before becoming lucid. I stopped and focused until my surroundings became crystallized into vivid reality. There was no doubt. I was fully awake and where I stood was not in a dream world but in a solid environment. The clarity of my state of mind and the realization that I was in another dimension exhilarated me tremendously. If anything, I felt more awake than awake. My surroundings were defined so clearly and solidly that I began to wonder whether by some fluke I was actually there in my body. My doubts were dispelled simply by accomplishing a giant leap into the air. I then decided to venture out of the tube station to investigate my new surroundings. I skipped up the stairs like an athlete with supernatural powers until I entered bright daylight. I was in a city suburb. It could have been Hamburg, but I did not recognize it. To my right the road passed under a railway bridge. I was overwhelmed by the crispness of the event and the clarity and sharpness of my consciousness. I had just started to make plans for my next excursion, and getting excited at the prospect of becoming a flying human being, when suddenly I woke up in my bed. Next headline, Visiting Relatives, 27th of January 1976. I had learned already that too much excitement could cut short the opportunity to explore my newfound freedom, so instead I focused on a compulsion to revisit my mother's house in Germany, as I had in my first experience. Freed from the physical body, is much more emotion. In my case, it was the fact that I had left my hometown in Germany only 9 months earlier, which explained why I was so frequently compelled to go back to either Hamburg or Bielefeld in Germany, where I had studied and kept fond memories, or my place of birth, and where I grew up, a small quaint place near the Dutch border. Then it exerted a powerful magnetism, especially in the early stages with my mother, younger brother and grandmother still living there. My new life in England had become more complicated and demanding. I was trying to build a new life with my wife in a strange town in a strange country. There were times when I felt like a fish out of water, adjusting to another culture, a new language and new people. Like many people leaving their home country behind, I felt like an exile, deported into an alien world, and I started to believe that the principal force behind my out-of-body projections was a longing for home. I was too preoccupied adjusting to my new life to spend any time attempting what I had done a month earlier, and I came to rely on spontaneous forms of projection instead, driven by homesickness rather than by the result of my regular meditation. I have always regarded meditation to be the original trigger for my projections. At the time of my first separation from my body, I had been meditating intensively for many years, starting when I was a student. My motives were not to experience supernatural phenomena but to achieve a deeper understanding of my individual nature. Out-of-body events, however novel, were never the goal, but they were a very agreeable byproduct of meditation. Now I realized that my homesickness was a great source of emotional power with which to attain distant projection. 27 When I pondered this short episode, it became very clear to me how easy and natural it would be for people to meet on the next dimension, even if we lived hundreds of miles apart, even if we were separated by physical death—if we were all to develop the power of conscious dreaming. Everything about this encounter was very authentic. The fact that we cannot escape our problems in life, like my grandmother's illness, and carry them over into the next dimension, was also very clear. During the following months I made visits to Germany and other places with great regularity, and each time I learned a little more. I was still trying to come to terms with the nature of the dimensionality and how other people's dreams interacted with my excursions. I visualized the house until it appeared clearly in my mind. In an instant, a powerful force picked me up and carried me at a terrific speed through space. Everything was dark, but when I focused, I could see lights flashing by beneath me. I could also hear the wind in my ears and feel it on my face. Only seconds later, I landed in my mother's garden. I stared into the lit kitchen window. My grandmother and mother were sitting around the kitchen table, but they seemed unhappy, looking rather depressed. I later found out that my grandmother was very ill at that time and that my mother was very worried. Then suddenly my mother looked up in my direction, and to my great surprise she came straight through the wall, greeting me with a familiar big hug. "I know you aren't here in your real body, but it doesn't matter," she said. I was rather taken by surprise, not only by the fact that she could see me, but also by her insight. Through her strong and warm embrace I could feel her powerful emotion. I knew instantly that the reason for her greeting me like this could only have been that she was dreaming. I was tempted to suggest to her that she should realize that she was dreaming or make an effort to recall our meeting so that I could ring her up and confirm it, but it was too late. I was pulled away suddenly and woke up in my bed in Bournemouth. Next headline, cheap way to travel, 27th of April 1976. In early morning I got up briefly to use the toilet, then went back to bed again. I meditated for a few minutes by focusing on my third eye five, but I couldn't hold my attention and slid into sleep with vivid dreams. They became increasingly lucid until I had full waking awareness. Unfortunately, I only recalled two experiences when I woke up. After a short excursion around the house, I decided to leave through the bedroom window. I paid little attention to my surroundings and decided to travel to my hometown in Germany. As before, I pictured the front of my mother's house, and within 2 or 3 seconds it appeared before me in its full physical glory. I focused on every detail, so as to enhance my wakefulness. Everything became extraordinarily crisp and sharp. The power of my vision was superb. If only I could see like this in real life, I thought to myself. Despite this clarity, there were slight inconsistencies in the way. Remembered it from my physical state. In the attic there was now a huge window which appeared to be the room of my younger brother. I knew immediately that I was in the second dimensional counterpart of the physical plane. The next moment my mother's dog came bounding towards me, wagging its tail, barking. I gave him a few strokes and he disappeared into the house. Moments later my mother came out. She was emotional and excited when she saw me. I was again surprised that she could see me, and I stepped back, momentarily anxious that I'd frightened her by my unexpected appearance. I shouldn't have worried. As always when we met, she gave me her familiar affectionate hug and told me that I should say hello to my younger brother. I went straight from the outside garden into his room, not even using the stairs. My brother was sitting on his bed in his pajamas. He got up, embraced me and gave me a cheerful smile. I was aware of the underlying emotional signature of our family's hugs, which I had never noticed before in real life. On this level, everything emotional felt more intense, more authentic. I informed him that I had made a deliberate effort to come here in my out-of-body state and that this was not a dream, that what we were experiencing was as real, if not more so, as real life. This meant nothing to him, and instead he distracted me by starting a conversation in which he mentioned something about two cards. Before I could ask him what he meant, I felt a strong pull from my body back in England. There was hardly a break in consciousness when I opened my physical eyes. I knew that neither my brother nor my mother would have been aware of the experience, and I wondered whether they might have experienced this as a dream, but when I spoke to them later, neither knew anything of it. I doubted whether they would even have regarded it as a dream worth remembering, which is why I never bothered to find out about it in the future. Yet I was certain that what had happened had actually taken place on the super-dimensional counterpart of the physical Earth, as certain as if I had met them in the real world. To me it made sense that the next dimension from the physical universe was a reality. It was a carbon copy of everything that existed in this physical dimension, modified by dreams, thoughts and wishes of the inhabitants, who shared the physical world in the day and the non-physical at night and in their thoughts. There was a clear link between the two dimensions. I also noticed over time that no matter how dramatically a place may have changed or been distorted on the next dimension, it was still possible, with relative ease, to identify it simply by reading its atmosphere. The ability to read an atmosphere, thought or a feeling was many times more acute than on the physical level. Much later, I confirmed the existence of this link when I visited a higher dimension where people's physical characteristics had changed beyond recognition. It pointed to the fact that any physical object, including us, had a counter-dimensional aspect on every level, layered like the skins of an onion. It is worth pointing out that while getting more confident, I sought ways of confirming the reality of these experiences. To do this, I asked my brother in Germany to pin a word on his wall, which I would read when projecting to the house next and then confirm it via phone. A few nights went by and, leaving my body. As I projected into his room, I was confused by the large number of notices stuck to his wall. I couldn't focus clearly on many of them, but one stood out and it read, "Unlimited Freedom, 27th and 28th of February 1976. This was the first time I succeeded in intentionally leaving my body to travel directly into the next dimension. It was almost too easy. I felt I was on the threshold of a new existence. This was the first indication that I was about to embark on my journey as a true interdimensional traveler. In the space of 2 days I was able to accomplish this feat no fewer than 4 times simply by lying on my back after a good night's sleep and I focusing on my pineal gland in the center of my head. It was so simple that my imagination ran wild thinking about the possibilities that lay open before me. The prospect of such unlimited freedom in deciding to travel to any place in the world, indeed anywhere in this universe, made me feel as if I had won the most valuable prize one could ever dream of. This was the Philosopher's Stone, and it was not some fanciful dream. It was too grand, too overwhelming to comprehend in its entirety. These results were brought about during meditation. It felt as if my mind was split. One part of me was asleep and dealing with vague dream images while another part was wide awake. As I dealt with some dream sequences in the back of my mind, I noticed that I could see my room through my closed eyelids. Although clearly fully awake, I felt a strange detachment from my body. All I had to do now was rise out of my body while making sure to remain seated. It was not difficult at all. Unfortunately, it didn't last very long, to my disappointment. Instead of opening my subtle eyes, I opened my physical ones. After intensifying my focus on the center of my head, I soon entered a heavy trance state. Still sitting upright in my bed, meditating, I could see the quilt cover through my closed eyes. This told me that I could take the experiment a step further. To my great surprise, and before I could even make any decision, a powerful force grabbed hold of me and swept me away with astonishing speed. While traveling through an enormous black tunnel, I decided it was time to take charge of the situation rather than be carried blindly away by an unknown force. I visualized an area of beach near Bournemouth Pier where I used to go swimming nearly every day in the hot summer the previous year, which was not too far from where we lived. I soon saw the beach underneath me, but I overshot it by miles. Slightly alarmed at my lack of control, I felt a strong pull at the back of my head. I tried to ignore it at first, urging myself to resist it, but my concentration faltered and I was forced back into my body within seconds. The next day I had 2 similar experiences. This time I decided not to take charge of the event, but allow the force, whatever it was, to take control and deposit me wherever it deemed fit, putting my trust into the benevolent workings of nature. As before, the first experience was very short-lived. Almost as soon as I lifted out of my body, I awoke registered physically. It took me another 40 minutes to reach the trance state copyright again. Then I was lifted gently out of my body, waiting for the force to take me away. I floated gently to the opposite side of the bedroom. I looked out of the window and stared at the wall of our neighbor's house. Then suddenly, without warning, I was picked up and with accelerating speed I was pulled downwards towards the interior of the registered earth. The direction did not change, but the speed increased and it was black as night. I could no longer be sure whether it was wise to entrust my fate to the forces of nature. Instinctively, I associated going downwards into the darkness with descending into an unpleasant realm. Images of an imagined hell sprung into my mind and this slowed down my speed instantly. I felt a pull at the back of my head and awoke in my bed. The following morning, adopting the same technique and focusing on the pineal gland, I found myself pulled towards my old art high school in Hamburg, where I had studied 4 years before. Finally, I had broken firmly into the next dimension. The unmistakable atmosphere of the Art Academy was there, but the layout had changed dramatically. Instead of one flight of stairs in the entrance hall, there were now 2 grand sweeps leading up through a lofty 3-story atrium. The large windows were still there, but now they covered 3 floors and were crafted beautifully from stained glass. This was not just some dream image. A modified physical structure, this was a 4th-dimensional structure inhabited by dead people who had taken permanent residence here. Wandering through the studios, I was greeted by students busy with their work and smiling at me, somehow knowing that I was just a temporary visitor. The work of the students was not what they would have produced on Earth. They used materials totally alien to me. They were very much engrossed in their work, most of them paid little attention to me whatsoever. What made it so remarkable was the physicality of the feet work, the solidity of the building and the random details of the objects being used and the tools lying around. I met professors I did not recognize, who returned my greetings. To my surprise, I came across a large studio with my own work, huge canvases, all abstract, being prepared for an exhibition. With fascination I studied each canvas, each one familiar, and yet they were nothing like the work I was accustomed to, which was at that time automotive abstract pencil drawings and watercolor washes. There were piles of unfinished canvases as well. With my critical eye I found to my dismay that most of them were lacking in quality and direction and needed work. Nevertheless I was impressed by the amount of labor that had gone into them. On my return I pondered whether breaking off the university course had left this work unfinished or whether a part of me visited this school at night when I was unconscious and in deep sleep. On my return I sat still in my bed and hung on to my split awareness. I decided to make a further excursion, but failed to impress. Next headline, chased by a maniac into another dimension, 15th of April 1976. In my dream I was locked inside a room and being chased by a knife-wielding maniac. There were no doors or windows and the only way out was through the ceiling. The absurdity of the situation was enough to make me realize that I was having a dream. As soon as I became aware of this, the maniac simply vanished and I floated towards the ceiling and straight through it and found myself outside. Where I would have expected a rooftop, I found myself instead crawling out of a hole into a wide open landscape. The realization of being conscious in another world never ceased to be exhilarating. My waking consciousness became crystal clear. This time I resolved not to waste the opportunity and decided to conduct an experiment in locomotion. Traveling by focusing on a destination was my first task. I knew the easiest way was to follow the force of attraction and focus on the well-tried kitchen window of my mother's house. Traveling on this dimension was made much easier by desire and habit. Desire was the fuel, and habit was the engine. It was much easier than using thought alone. With this in mind, I raced through the air at an unbelievable velocity. Curiously, and without being able to explain why, I traveled feet first. When my feet touched the ground and I rose into a vertical position, I realized how short the journey actually was. Just as in my very first experience, I saw not only the kitchen window but also had a 360-degree view around where I stood. I could see all the houses of the neighborhood clearly. I struggled to keep my balance. I felt like a child taking my first steps. Simply by focusing on the brick wall before me, I intensified my waking consciousness and my control was restored. My brain with events and consequently have only fragments of memories, like moving through gardens or walking along strange roads within strange cities not of this world. This taught me the importance of impressing the brain before returning to normal wakefulness. 34 The modem idea that a parallel universe is only the width of an atom away appears very sound under the circumstances I experienced. Next headline, matter in the next dimension and the art of flying. 27th of May 1976. After a few more not very memorable or noteworthy excursions, I became lucid again, standing in what I thought to be my mother's house. Somehow, though, it looked unfamiliar, because the rooms appeared to have been rearranged. It was dark and I found toys strewn untidily across the room. Generally, it looked very messy. I walked down a corridor and when I passed a mirror I stopped. To my amazement I could not see my reflection. I came to a flight of having been chased out of a dream by a knife-wielding maniac, then arriving on the green fields of a different dimension after going through the ceiling of a large building, then looking into the kitchen window of my mother's house with a sobriety and clear-mindedness which could be found rarely in normal life. This whole episode seemed to be the strangest experience imaginable. Yet it felt so real and normal that I began to wonder what normality actually was. With this in mind, I walked around the outside of our house, but I found no one. The garden and everything about it felt strangely physical, in as much as I could detect none of the weird distorted features taken from the dreams or fantasies from the next non-physical dimension I had noticed before. When I again reached the kitchen window in front of the house, I looked inside and saw my mother standing in the room, putting on her coat and getting ready to go to work. In mid-movement, she stopped and looked in my direction. I was startled and unsure whether she had seen me. I was concerned not to alarm her with my sudden apparition. Instead, my mother relaxed and gave me a warm smile. I was unable to determine whether she had seen me or simply thought of me. Then she turned and left the room. Increasingly, and annoyingly, my attention was diverted to my feet and I struggled to keep my balance. Eventually, I decided it was time to leave. The quickest way was by willing open my physical eyes. I was back in England. The return was swift. Saw stairs which went down to the ground floor. There I met my mother, her dog and my grandmother. There was something strange about them. Somehow they didn't match the people I knew. The dog's fur was much lighter and his face looked strange. I concluded that I had met apparitions and not real people at all. Had I conjured up dream images simply by expecting them? When I paid no further attention to them, the apparitions just disappeared from the scene. I wanted to get out, so I walked into an empty room towards the window, but I felt at a loss as how to open it. Being in a non-physical environment, I thought it should just be a simple matter of willing my way through the glass with ease. I was wrong. As I pressed with all my force against the window pane, the only thing I noticed was that the glass did not break but bent outwards like a thick plastic sheet. I made another effort to pass through and I pushed the eye pane out nearly a foot until it disintegrated into small droplets. As I passed through, it closed again behind me. This was an experience which I encountered later on a number of occasions when trying to pass through a closed window. I then found myself standing in a rather drab garden and also noticed to my annoyance that my sight had become blurred. To regain full awareness, I bent down and concentrated on a rather lonely flower until I could distinguish every detail clearly. The flower looked somewhat sad. It was a tulip which had long passed its full bloom, and when I looked around, I noticed that this dimension was a drab and dusky place, lonely and neglected. The atmosphere was alienating, bordering on sinister. It was not a place I would choose to hang out, I thought. I walked round the outside of the house and decided to try to take off into flight to investigate the region in more detail. I took to the air, but not without difficulty, and I needed to concentrate to keep airborne. I made slow progress, following the road, which I knew instinctively would lead me to my old hometown. Somehow I felt that this was a counterpart, a copy of my birthplace in Germany, which I identified by the atmosphere rather than the landmarks. Whatever it was not a very inviting place. Struggling to maintain my flight, I considered various techniques that might take less effort than what I was engaged in. The first thing that sprang to mind was to attempt swimming movements like their breaststroke. It wasn't much better. Then I tried pressing my arms tight against my body and moved my feet like flippers. After this, I used my arms and legs together, flapping like an injured crow. I thought how amusing it must have looked to other people who saw me flying past like an oversized pantomime bird. Eventually, my effort seemed to pay off and I gained in height, but oddly to a maximum of only about 5 meters above ground level. It was almost as if there was a gravitational pull which needed effort to be overcome. I couldn't maintain elevation and sank down like a doomed plane, hovering just inches above the ground. Frustrated and with a sheer effort of will and concentration, I shot forward and up, but soon after ended up at ground level again. Suddenly, without warning, somebody grabbed my feet and pushed me hard. Before I knew it, I was catapulted into the air and I shot along the street. At the same time, I was aware of a rather amused chuckle from some invisible entity or person who had taken pity on me and had provided the extra lift. I was not on my own. The new boost of energy enabled me to float easily along the road at a constant height of about 10 meters. I overtook a young girl. Trying not to frighten her, I soared higher up into the air.